11:46, it's time to catch up with David Gately for Gators Game Plan. And boy, what a wonderful weekend it promises to be, highlighted by the Sir Rupert Clark at Caulfield and the George Main up there in Sydney. Good morning to you, Gator.
Hey, good morning, mate. Yeah, a couple of Group 1s and a couple of Group 2s that could easily be, you know, masquerade as Group 1s, couldn't they? Including the Shorts, which sees the return of Catalyst and the mighty Bivouac. So, great racing.
Got a few questions from a few of our selectors on the text line this morning, 0416905052, to join our conversation around the selection table. Before we have a look at our main player and the horse that we'll be playing through this weekend, Gator, I might go back to last week. We had a few of the players that you wanted to lift. They're at the crossroads. They didn't have the best of luck to kick off their season. Are you happy enough? Did Master of Wine do enough? Did Acadia Queen do enough? What other horses did we have on that list?
Yeah, it was really interesting, and I was sort of leading into that meeting. And we had as many as seven out of the two meetings. Like, it was 18 races. Seven of them were coming off what some would say were disappointing runs. Others would say inconclusive, others complete forgive. So it's all an opinion-based game. But what we need to do afterwards is look back and say, you know, how did we go with those? And of the seven, well, only one of them won. It was Doubtland.
Yep.
Obviously paid well. But I think all of the others, well, they all finished top four, didn't they? Bar for Parlophone, who probably looking for further now, but and over raced a bit. So she was still a little bit inconclusive, but I expected better. Of all the others, they're back on track. Master of Wine, good. Slowly run mile, probably didn't suit him ideally. Acadia Queen's been beaten narrowly. If it's another 50 metres, you know, she wins. It was just a bit sharp, wasn't it? 1400. Windstorm was run down by, you know, 20-something to one pop, and I don't think many saw that coming. Maybe it's a little bit fitter. And Fun Star, three wide, a long way from home, beaten narrowly by one who had a softer run. So, really pleasing to see that, you know, the track we tend to use is, you know, the right one more often than not.
Yep, it was a good day, and let's hope we can continue on that form on Saturday. Who are we playing through this weekend, Gator?
Yeah, there's a couple of key runners, I think one Melbourne, one Sydney, that well, that I'm really keen on, and I think they're both, you wouldn't say Winx type morals, but they're much better odds than the mighty Winx. One of them is very elegant in Sydney, who was obviously terrific first up. She's always even better second up. She's even better at a mile. She just might be getting better and better. So very happy with her price tab early doors. Liar's probably less obvious. She's in the last race at Caulfield. I thought she was a little bit unlucky. She just didn't quicken into a tight gap at a key stage. I think it cost her the win. Obviously, Diamond effort won that, had clear air. The form behind's already stacking up, as you'd expect, in a high-class race. The big ticks for her on Saturday is the 1,200 metres. The stable openly said she'd take benefit from the run, so that's in the back of my mind as well. And, you know, the last time she was at 1,200 metres, she was running on behind Trekking, who's third in an Everest, and Geetra, who's just run down Nature Strip. She has the best weighted runner all day with 55 kilos on her rating. She had a good ride from gate three, so there's a chance that the fence is off and she'll need luck again. But it's called gambling for a reason. It's a gamble. I'm with her. Race 9, number 6, Lyra. Really keen on her.
All right, then. $2.60 in the last race, Lyra. Race 9, number 6. That's our horse that we'll be playing through on Saturday, along with Very Elegant in Sydney and the George Main. What about the race that we want to take a closer look at? And I think we'll go to our feature, the Sir Rupert Clark Stakes. How have you analysed this contest?
Look, with great difficulty. I mean, it, because of the handicap, it's obviously less, you know, it tends to be less obvious than perhaps its sister race or its cousin race, the Memsey a couple of weeks ago. In that race, we saw Behemoth win well. Sure, he had a good run, but he also chased a really strong speed and won by a length and a half. So, you know, I think those backmarkers, given that tempo, probably had their chance to run him down. In saying all that, I think Cascading was every bit as good as the winner. He just, once he'd missed the start, ended up out the back and forced right off the track on the turn. Well, it was mathematically a challenge for him to win. He still ran home race fastest, and if he could guarantee he'd jump cleanly, you'd have a decent bet at $12 with the tab at the moment, wouldn't you? But if he could jump clean, put himself in a race, he could certainly win a Rupert Clark. I think he's a great way to look at the race. He always has a little weight advantage on Behemoth, who was only second up the other day. He has to go in, but it's just tough with 60 kilos, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Superstorm, look, there were mixed reports with his first up run, but look, I didn't have him in my top five, and I'm his biggest fan. He's just not an 1100 metre horse. Simple as that. He's run off his legs, you know, pretty much from the start. So quickly to 1400 second up will suit him into a handicap. The last time he ran, of course, in that All-Star Mile, he ran by Fierce Impact. He ran straight by Melody Bell, Darla San, Sosie Bond. So all that Maccabi Diva form, and all that form can be tied in through Darla San, through Behemoth as well. So he'll need a good ride. I think the fence might be off anyway. So keen to play him in Cascadian, Banquo Behemoth in the mix, Age of Chivalry in the mix, and this three-year-old Tagaloa creates interest, doesn't he? Just the 3 kilos above weight for age has just put me off a fraction. But these three-year-olds have a good record in the race, and he certainly goes in the wider quaddie.
So we play Cascadian at the $12. That's right. And Superstorm at $10.
That's the way I'm playing it. I mean, people can do whatever they want. It's their money. But that's the way that I'll be playing the race and certainly taking some exotics. I mean, even Banquo, our third pick's near 10-1. So, you know, they're the six I'm playing through. You know, you've left out the likes of Pretty Brazen, you know, some many good horses. But that's the nature of great handicap racing. And you're often rewarded if you get it right. And that'll certainly be the case on Saturday, given those prices.
Yeah, it's a ripper on Saturday, the Sir Rupert Clark. What about the MRC Foundation Cup, the Naturalism? Canaan is our D-Day horse coming down from Sydney. He's got a lot of ability. What do you want to see from him on Saturday?
I think he can win. Yeah. You know, I want to see if he's going to be the horse that we'd all hoped. He'd need to go very close on Saturday, all things being equal, as in track pattern. Now, tempo looks okay without being fierce. You know he's going to be off midfield. He has to get around Caulfield, sure, but I think it's time to stand up. He's been unsuited both runs back. There have been shorter trips on pace patterns. He was back and wide last time and under pressure a long way from home, but his late splits were good against the pattern. And he finally gets out to 2,000 metres, of course. That was the distance of his dominant packer plate win in fast time. Obviously scared of Order of the Garter. You know, he's going to have a much softer run in transit than Canaan. So if speed maps are your thing, and he's probably your pony, you know, he might be looking for further soon, that's all. And Gamekeeper did a great job jumping in trip last time. But I think it's D-Day for Canaan, and I think he's really backable to find out if he's the horse we thought he could be.
We can get $7.50 for Canaan, $2.60 the place with Michael D aboard for Chris Waller. Okay, the chairman of selectors, are you ready? A few of the other selectors have got a few questions for you, Gator. 0416905052 to join the conversation. What's Gator's thoughts? I think we've already touched on this, but on Superstorm and Gate 18, can he get into a decent enough spot to give him a decent crack at them late?
Well, we'll certainly know by race 8 how the track's playing. Very obviously, if it's an on-pace inside pattern, I mean, he's probably 66-1. So I'll be holding off a little bit. I don't think but if we get a level playing field or a run-ons track, you know, the last meeting here, I thought the track played really well, but I don't think perhaps part of the inside was the A ground. So if he can be off midfield with cover, there's really strong speed on paper. You know, I'm expecting him to run really well. I don't think there'll be, you know, big gaps between the field on the finishing post. I think there'll be only a couple of lengths over 7 or 8 of them. So sure, we'll need a bit of luck. But at $10, I'm convinced he's good enough, and I'm keen to play him at that price.
David from Williamstown. Gator, I followed your advice and linked a three-horse parlay through Overlord again last Saturday. Blew the start again. And what went on from there? Can you please give me one to avoid this week? I think Overlord's run out of chances, hasn't he?
Well, I mean, he's just doing too much wrong.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone doubts the talents there. But, you know, once he missed the start, he sort of got into a good spot after that, but then got on heels mid-race. He just doesn't have a lot of race sense yet. Now, what he is probably in the best stable, one of the best stables in the world for educational horse. We've seen that through Very Elegant. We've seen that through Nature Strip. what that stable can do to educate horse and get them to perform at their best is unparalleled. So I'm not losing faith given the fact that he's in the stable, but I'm running out of money, which is a problem.
Hey, Gator, one thing I've heard your good buddy Dino say is if you aren't sure, don't bet. I'm seeing 8 to 10 possible winners in the Sir Rupert Clark. Should we keep our cash in our pocket and watch this race? Who is this? No way. We bet, Gator.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm going to be dead one day. So I don't think just sitting back and watching life go by is the answer.
I'm sure Dino will be betting too in the Sir Rupert Clark.
I think that's immoral.
Yeah.
But it's, in all seriousness, look, I think it's you get these great handicaps, to, and we're quite unique, our racing, compared to a lot of parts of the world with these big handicap fields and, 10 to 1, 12 to 1, 10 to 1. You don't have to get a lot of them right to be in front, and it's just a lot of fun. So, yeah. Never bet what you can't afford to lose. That's rule 1A. But if you want a bit of fun with the sport and you have some disposable income, I think these races are great to play in, and it's a great feeling when you get them right.
I can understand where that listener's come from, and Dino has said that before, but in a Group 1 race, you're backing a good horse like a Superstorm at $10. So you are getting good value for your money, as the great Gator's just mentioned. Okay, we'll move on. There's a ton of questions coming through. Hi, Gator. Thought on Dreamforce. On his preferred firm track against Avilius and Very Elegant, who prefer Sting Out. We'll get a picnic up front and we'll be winning. That's from the form doctor. He's taking you on, the doctor there, Gator.
Yeah, look, I'm a big Dreamforce fan. I remember being with him at Flemington a couple of springs ago and he ran fast in front, kept running. I thought, this is a really good horse. And he's proven that, hasn't he? He's gone on to run well in Group 1 races. I think the track pattern's going to be important for him. It hasn't been a savage sort of swoopers track at Randwick of late. It's been much better to be on pace, perhaps, inside, without being savage, as I say. But his win last time was good. He looked to do a little bit of work, but the times don't really back that up. He was going, a pretty moderate sort of speed. Of course, he was swallowed up prior to that by Very Elegant, but I don't think that's any guide. It was a real swooper's race. The first six over the line were all amongst the last few in the run that day off a really strong speed. So he's an interesting one because he beat Tiako Shark last year on a leader's track. Tiako Shark, the horse that beat Very Elegant second up last time in. So it's very easy to make a case. I think it's going to come down to the track pattern. All things being equal, I don't think he's a better horse than Very Elegant, but if he gets a soft lead and or pattern on side, he can beat that girl.
Is it time to drop girl Tuesday to the seconds, or does she stay on the field for one last chance this weekend? No more excuses. That's from Jeff.
I think she's going... Yeah, I think I could take the point. She just needs another win, sure, but I think she's flying. Last two have been terrific. I mean, her closing effort last time, she was home 11-16, and that doesn't tell the whole story. Outside of her, it was a real on-pace dominated race. She was really the sole swooper in it, and I love seeing that. Look, I've tipped her third overall. I think Shared Ambition and Zabowski are going to be hard to beat, but at her odds on, I think she went up $18, Tab. She's certainly worth a save a bet, and certainly in the Quaddy Girl Tuesday, I think she's going really well.
Gator, how much do you pay attention to the SP profiles and or use them in your form? Are they important? And maybe just explain what's the SP profiles means for our listeners out there, Gator.
Yeah, sure. So just the starting price, basically. So obviously, if a horse is even money at its previous start, runs fifth or fourth or anyway gets beaten... there was an expectation that horse would run very well. Now, $2 means you're winning one in every two. So, okay, didn't win that one. So, to answer the question, I very much factor in. I think it's a massive part of doing form. What the expectation was of the previous race, how do you assess it? Were there excuses why it was beaten? And often, all of a sudden, next time you're getting 350 because it was beaten. And hey, presto, things pan out better and you get a win. So, you probably get over the odds. So a great weapon for punters, no doubt.
Hi, Gator. Bivouac is a talent, no doubt, but he seems to do his best work off slowly run tempos with Ball of Muscle and Eduardo in the race. He looks under the odds. Anything appeal to you at the price in that race? That is the shorts there, race 7 at Randwick.
Yeah, terrific race. Certainly worthy of a Group 1. And as we referenced in the opener, Bivouac fascinates me. I saw Quinny put out a tweet the other day, and his Newmarket handicap win was absolutely brilliant. It was breathtaking. He won it like Black Caviar, strolled to them, thrashed good horses like Tafai and those sort of horses. But every other run left, in that prep, he was beaten. He was riding the market in a lot of them. Sure, he had some excuses in a few. His trial was fabulous. Where does he get to from gate 12? There are some real queries. Look, if he turns up on the Newmarket run, he wins. Then he led around the valley, beaten by Love and Gabby and Guitra, those sort of horses. So he's a tough one to assess. He's similar to Sabatiano last week. His best is fabulous, but he just doesn't always turn up in that A-plus mindset, does he?
Yep. It'd be interesting. I agree with that listener as well. Do you agree with that? Off slowly run races, he seems to be at his best, Gator.
Well, look, it does have merit. If you're sitting on speed in a moderately run race and you're a high-class athlete, it's a pretty good... You're going to be hard to run down, aren't you, as a rule? And that sort of goes for a lot of horses. But, I flash back to his three-year-old days and, rode strong speed. They're beating good horses like Yes, Yes, Yes and Exceedance. So I don't think it's imperative he has a moderately run race, but he just has to turn up at his best.
All right, Gator, we'll have quick hands here because I've got a couple of questions and we're running out of time. Does Gator like Hungry Heart in Sydney?
I'm going to stick with Dame Giselle. I've been with her both runs back. She's been good to me. I think 1400 won't stop her. She was wide, no cover last time. Still beat Hungry Heart. I think it might be Hungry Heart advantage at 1600, though.
All right, then. Would Buffalo River win the Rupert Clark if he made it into the field?
There's a lot of pressure in that race. He'd have to be very good, with 54 kilos. I was working around him off the noms, but we'll never know.
Last one here, and I apologise for not getting to all of these questions, but ask Gate if he reckons Connections would still sell Russian Camelot prior to the Melbourne Cup if he comes out and wins the Cox Plate convincingly.
Well, it depends how much you need the dosh, doesn't it? Yeah. I'm not sure that opportunity is going to come up again in your lifetime. So, I'm a dreamer.
Yeah, and who, just quickly, who do you think deserves the next few Everest slots?
Well, let's wait and see. I'd love to see Catalyst come out and run well on Saturday. I'm sure he will. He's a very good horse. We saw Tafano's got the nod there as well. Good to see. She's a Group 1 winner. So the next level of sprinters, there's not much between them. And we saw that was proof last week, wasn't it, with the Bobby Lewis went five and went over the line together.
Love your work, Gator. Catch up with you on Saturday morning for the Melbourne Form Panel from 8.